إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه بعد. My dear brothers and sisters, we are talking about building a relationship with the Quran, and we mentioned some of the things of the way to do that is to reflect on the glory and majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's creation. This is a subject on which I can talk all my life long and it still won't finish. So I'm trying to keep it brief. The second way in which we connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and build a relationship with the Quran al-Kareem is reflecting on not just the magnificence of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but on how this creation affects us. How am I and how do I fit into this creation? How does this creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala affect me? Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, he began his kalam with the word of shukr, where he said, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, all thanks and all praise is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the Rabb of the Alameen. And as I have explained before, Rabb is the one who takes something from a state of incompleteness to a state of completeness, stage by stage. And therefore, there is a huge element of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His creatures. And there's an element of nurturing, an element of compassion, an element of guiding and guidance, all of which is in this term Rabb. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that all praise and all thanks are for the one who nurtures, for the one who provides, for the one who guides, for the one who protects, for the one who supports. And not just you and me, but all of the universe. So to reflect on the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one way to connect with Him, to reflect on how does it affect me. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned many of the ways in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly touches us in terms of what He has given. In many, many places in the Quran, for example, in Surah Ar-Rahman, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned His kalam itself. And then in the surah, as you know, the ayah, فَبِيَيَّا لَا رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ is repeated so many times. Because Allah is drawing our attention to the fact that though we receive all of these things from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we do not thank Allah for them. Two things I want to mention, which were great learnings from me, both from students of mine. One was, at that time he was a little boy, young boy, not a little boy, but a young boy. Today he's a dentist, he has a family, children and so on, and he's the head of his masjid in Long Island. In 97, I was in a jamaat in New York, and there was this boy called Mamun. And there were several of these young chaps who were with us in the jamaat. We were on a 40-day jamaat, they were there for a shorter time. So one day I was doing the bayan in the evening, and the bayan was on shukr, on thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When I finished the bayan, he said to me, Uncle Yavar, I am thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for my knuckles. So I thought, you know, this kid is having fun or he's joking or something. Anyway, I didn't say anything. Then I asked him, I said, what do you mean thankful for the knuckles? He said, no, he said, I was listening to you and I was trying to think what should I thank Allah for, and I realized that how many times a day do I use my knuckles? I grasp things, I hold things and so on and so on. And there's no pain, there's nothing. I'm able to use my fingers, and my toes without any problem. And I thought to myself, Alhamdulillah, Allah has given such insight to young people, and that was a big lesson for me to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because if you look at people who are affected by arthritis, it is a matter of, it's every time you want to hold something, it's agony. So should we not thank Allah for that? We thank Allah for, sadly, we become aware of the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only when they are gone. For my almost, you know, all my life almost, I never had glasses. And today, quite literally, if I take my glasses off, even your face will be blurred. I know Nazim bhai because he's my friend, but I mean, especially from the door of the masjid, and that's why I say all the women who come to my bayans, alhamdulillah, they're all permanently in parda because I speak with that. Because I can't see them anyway, so it doesn't matter. Even if I wanted to see them, which I don't, but I'm saying that. So when do I become aware of the fact that my eyesight is no longer 20/20? When it is gone, right? I rode horses all my life. I played polo when I was young. So you know, jumping up, down, this. But today the knees don't work. I mean, alhamdulillah, they work enough for me to do everything else, but they don't work the way they used to work. So it's a tragedy of the human being that we become aware of what Allah has given us, the blessings, only when they are gone. And what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying is, thank when it is there. Second lesson in terms of thanks from another student of mine in Malaysia, Mudassir Masihuddin, who asked me a question one day. He said, Uncle, this issue of shukr. He said, Uncle Yavar, how would it be if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had decreed that today you will wake up only with those things that you thanked me for yesterday? Supposing this was a decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I can bet you there will not be a single human being alive on the face of the earth who would not have lost something very dear to him. Some, for some, their family would no longer be there. For some, their children would be gone. For some, their parents would be gone. For some, their eyesight would be gone. For some, their kidneys will fail. For someone, I mean, may Allah protect us from this. This is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even the most thankless, even the one who does not even believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, does not worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah does not hold him accountable to the point of saying that if you don't thank me for what I have given you, I will take it away. And this would be perfectly justified if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did this. Now think of people like us. You do somebody one favor in this whole life. One day you did something good to that person. You expect that person to remind you of that and thank you every time he sees your face. Nahi sahab, aapke bagair mein kuch nahi tha sahab. Aap bhi kare sahab. Are ek din kare, kaun sa bada thi tumhare. But the point is, no. Sawal ek bar kare to ne zindagi bhar yaad dilana usko. Sahab, aapke bagair. Inna lillahi wa inna ilaihi rajiun. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we owe every breath in our body to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How do we thank Allah? Do we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Almost the first word on our tongue is a word of lack of shukr. You ask someone, how are you? Chal ra. Inna lillahi wa inna ilaihi rajiun. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. So how do we connect with Allah? How do we connect with the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Through thankfulness, by thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for what He has given us. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this in many places in the Quran. As I mentioned, Surah Ar-Rahman is a beautiful example. Allah told us about the Quran, Allah told us about the Mizan, Allah told us about the whole system of judgment and law without which there would be complete chaos and anarchy in the world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us about the oceans and what comes out of the oceans, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us about the ships and the whole issue of navigation and so on and so forth. In Surah An-Naba, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala drew our attention starting from the afaq, starting from the world, the earth and so on. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought in things which are of a very personal nature. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke about sleep. Ask somebody who has insomnia the value of sleep. Yeah, alhamdulillah, I think most of us, your head hits the pillow and 10 seconds later you're gone. Alhamdulillah. And anywhere, I mean, on the ground, on the pavement, makes no difference. But somebody who has insomnia, and it's a peculiar thing, I mean, you know, literally without eating, and some people, even after eating sedatives, they won't go to sleep. Ask them the value of sleep. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, what about sleep? When I was doing a course in Carnegie Mellon, I had a professor who would come to the class. He had sleep apnea. His tongue would go inside. So he would come in the class, and while he was lecturing, he would go to sleep. And the poor guy, he knew. I mean, he told us. He said, you know, I might fall asleep. Wake me up. Through the lecture, through the day, while giving a lecture, he would go to sleep. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke to us about our life partners, about our mates. Now some of you are smiling because, you know, say, oh, well, you know. I always tell them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you two kinds of mates. Ones who teach you sabr, the other ones who teach you shukr. So in both cases, you are okay, right? So nothing to complain about. In both cases, you are getting the reward. So alhamdulillah. So reflect on ourselves. As I mentioned, the issue of knuckles and so on and so on. Think about what must we do therefore? What we must do therefore is to consciously think about what Allah has given us. And some of the smallest things are the biggest things. Asthma, for example. People who have breathing problems. You know, the whole life revolves around taking a breath. Yeah? Asthma dur ki baat hai, that's a big thing. Just talk about a blocked nose. You don't have to go all the way to asthma. Just talk about a blocked nose. You can't sleep, you can't sit, you are uneasy the whole time, and you know, because you can't breathe properly. Simple thing like this. Moment Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, puts a finger on it, I'm not saying in the issue of finger, but I'm saying that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala touches something to make us aware that this is from me. So it's very important for us to reflect, to be thoughtful. Today, unfortunately, we live in a world where the question of reflection, thoughtfulness is, because you don't give yourself the time. The moment you finish, even after salah, I keep saying this, you know, people have, there's an app on the phone. I think it's on the iPhone also, right? On Androids, I know it is there, but I think it's also on iPhone, which tells you whether your salah is accepted or not. So as soon as the salah is finished, you get a message, salah accepted. I don't know, many people in this masjid, of course, have this app. I don't know, because the minute salah finishes, no dhikr, no astaghfirullah, nothing. Immediately phone comes out, because they want to be sure, my salah, was it accepted? Do I need to repeat it? Maybe do two sajda sahu anyway, you know, be on the safe side. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun. Why do you stress yourself like this? I mean, this is completely nuts. Leave those phones at home. Why do you even bring the phone to the masjid? Really, seriously, we have to ask this question. One of my dear friends and students and so on tells me, no, if there is an emergency. I said, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun. You are in the house of Allah, you are praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and if there's an emergency, Allah can't do anything about it, you have to do it. Huh? What emergency? So if your phone is in your pocket, there will not be any emergency. If there is a phone in the pocket and there is an emergency, what are you going to do? Tell me. Where is that? You don't even have tawakkul for 10 minutes. You are in the salah for 10 minutes. Ya Allah, I am in your darbar. I am standing in before you. Please take care of my family. Itta bhi iman nahi hai. Kya pad rahe yahan ke? For 10 minutes, 15 minutes, you have no tawakkur on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah can take care of your family. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. What happens if you drop dead? What will happen to that same family? Where is this? I mean, my point is, unless we practice, unless we become thoughtful, unless we tell ourselves, look, I have to get real with my life. This is nonsense. Either Allah is there or He's not there. Let me make this decision now. If Allah is there, and if I am going to meet Him, that's the second point. I have said it, you know, in a couple of Jummas, I think. Two things you must decide. Is Allah there or not? Number one. Number two, am I going to die and meet Allah or not? You decide this once and for all. If these two answers to these two questions is yes, there is Allah, yes, I will meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then there is no justification for living our lives the way we are living. Because this is complete, it's a total lie to ourselves, this is hypocrisy, this is nifaq, this is something which is totally shameful. Because you say Allah is there, I will meet Allah, and then we do everything which is against the hukam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How do you justify this? We have to stop this. We have to get real in life. We have to decide that I don't know whether I will be alive the next minute. How many times we say this? Does this statement have any meaning at all? Does it have any meaning at all? Because if it has meaning, then how do I not change my ways? Unless my life is so perfect, like the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or like the life of his akabirin of the Sahaba. There's a quote attributed to Sayyidina Ali ibn Abi Talib radhiyallahu anhu. He said, even if I see Jannah here and Jahannam here, there's nothing in my life that I need to change. So if your life is like that, alhamdulillah, no problem, good for you. But if your and my life is not there, then there is something that we need to do, something that we need to change. So I remind myself and you, let us sit down, let us make a list. Give yourself some peace. Sit and reflect and make a list and start working on it. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for barakah, we ask Allah to make it easy, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept the effort and to put success in it, inshallah. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya rahman rahim.